Last week we talked about the concept of Mara. So since you don't have any other questions, maybe I would continue. And I remind the last week, especially the Buddha was talking about 10 different forces of Mara that we had to be careful of. The one suggestion, be better to remove the idea of Mara as a negative concept or dangerous concept, because the Mara or this negative force is support you to continue or support you to feed your desire. It want the this concept makes you to wanting to make or bring more desire into your life, which means that is what we all are looking for. So most of the time we are looking the way to feed our desire. So therefore, first of all, let's find out those 10 forces. What are the 10 forces of the Mara that describe in Buddhist teachings? The first one is sense desire. Here again, a desire is not something negative. Look at what really we look through sense desire. What are the result? What has happened to us in the past? How much we have feed our sense desire? Now, what's the result and what's the end? How many times you have been to a restaurant to feed yourself? Or how many times you have been going to movies? What's the result after the movie? Really, what did you gain? What you have gained by doing it? By feeding your sense desire? If you really look at that, you can see before to do some kind of activity or before you feed your desire, you get excited. Then that excitement bring energy to you to do something, you to earn that or to do something to get that feed your desire. Afterward, what? Emptiness arises. Then again you want to do something else. Again you are looking a different thing. Maybe same thing more than what you had. So there you can find out nobody becomes satisfied, totally satisfied through the sense desire. We always look more and more. Then that considers as a trap. So that's a trap that we are running after. So then life come to end. So according to Buddhist teachings, we continue again. Then that is the one force that we have to look and we consider. Once when you have desire to feed your sense desire, to feed your senses, think how far I want to go and how much I want to feed and what can I gain by doing this. I'm not asking you to stop. But first of all, ask yourself how far that I want to go and really what am I expecting from this. That is how you can bring wisdom into it. It is better to not to do anything because somebody else asks you not to do or because teachings asking you not to do. It is better to find out why you are doing that will help you to see what is underneath. So therefore, the first force is sense desire. Second one is boredom. Think about once when you become bored, how do you feel? And is it comfortable? No. What do? We look something. We look something, whatever thing which can help you to come out from that feeling. Who made that? Did you make yourself bored? No. That happened due to some other reasons. So now think about or look at the situation, how one act while they are bored. So it is not very comfortable state of mind, it is really uncomfortable. Then what you do is not really being ultimately good result, or just passing the time or maybe wasting your time. So that also another a second force that you had to be consider or to watch, and again encourage you to not to get into that kind of situation or do not feed it. Third force is hunger and thirst, which is very interesting to think. Look at how much we are running after hunger and thirst. When you have that feelings of hungry or the thirsty, really what do? We look whatever. Or most of the time we spend a lot of time to feed ourselves. Finally, what's the result? I'm not asking you to not to eat. I'm not asking you to not to drink. But think your life is not just eating and drinking. We are doing that to support our body. Only support our body. But it is not all about your life. But you can see the lot of people, they are only running after hunger and thirst. They are only trying to feed themselves. And they waste their time. They spend a lot of time for that. So therefore, in the Buddhist teachings, the Buddha encouraging us to focus on that. To recognize hunger and thirst as a fourth force, which means when hungry, when you have this feeling of hungry, you cannot do anything. You cannot think, even you cannot do whatever you want to do. Think about once when you thirsty, you cannot do anything. You are looking, or you only look for water. Of course, we think we need water and food to survive. We need. But that's not your life. So therefore, find out really how much we are running after, especially after food. So recognize that it's not only your life. So according to the Buddhist teaching and Buddha's discovery, Buddha was bringing the hunger and thirst is a third force of Mara that we should be considered of. So fourth one is craving. Craving is something subject to your mind, really not subject to your body. But we use body to feed our craving. If you really look at that, craving can turn into big force, or it's very powerful. It can make you blind. Therefore, once when you get caught up into the craving, we cannot think, or we cannot help ourselves to do whatever you want to do, because you would drive by craving. So therefore, there's a fourth force that Buddha was asking to notice, the craving. Whenever you find out that you are blind by craving, make sure not to feed it. Understand it, recognize it, and try to not to feed it. That is how you can make it powerless. So the fourth force is craving. Fifth is sloth and torpor. Again, we know that sloth and torpor is subject to your mind. And once you get into those situation and you really don't know what to do and you cannot do anything, that's what you think. And therefore, to get over from that, and you would do whatever, or you would especially look something, some kind of entertainment to feed yourself or help you or support yourself. But it is better to notice that according to Buddha's teaching, fifth force of Mara is sloth and torpor. So sixth one is covetousness. That covetousness, so that also something that you have to be really careful of. Now you can especially see whenever you have one of these forces behind you, see what is happening to our mind, and especially our life. When you think about our life, your life always with full of those things. We are fighting against some of those, and we are providing some of those. We think that is our life. But it's better to come and again recognize what is happening to my mind. Why am I doing all of those things? Again, we are thinking with the world and we are working with the world, but ultimately you are just only yourself. Finally, you are only yourself and you are going through everything. Just think about, sometimes you are going through everything with your family. But if you really get close to you, you are having that experience individually. It doesn't matter how much you care, it doesn't matter how much you love somebody. When that person is going through something, that person going through that with their own self. When you are going with something, that is only your feeling. You are the only person who can help you. So, but we forget that. All of these forces of the Mara would not allow you to see that. It's think everything else is important than you. Everything else or doing everything else is much more worth than supporting yourself. That's the quality of the Mara. That is how you begin to think. So seventh force of the Mara is uncertainty. Look at that, because of uncertainty, how much we worried. And then we do so many things today because of that uncertainty. Of course, and sometimes we think, we see that those are some actions are very practical, like taking health insurance and taking a car insurance. Some of them you have to have, but look at the mind. It doesn't matter how much things you have, uncertainty is there, but once in your mind engage with it, you become blind. Really, what is certain in the world? So, but once when you engage with this uncertainty, you take a lot of actions. Is take your time, feel it, take your life. So seventh force of Mara is uncertainty. So eighth force of Mara is pride. Of course, when you talk about pride, we think we have to have it. Some of us think we have to have it, otherwise we cannot survive. And some of us think I don't have it, only others have it. But anyway, what one can gain by having pride? Once when you have it, you think it is very useful. But if you really open to it, it only another side of your blindness. We think it is very worthwhile, and we are doing so many things because of the pride, but really it's doing nothing. So there are so many things really supporting for the pride, but it is something we need to recognize and think that how much you are driving yourself by or wasting your life because of the pride. Even though, think about the ideas of husband or wife at work, maybe, because then again you have your pride because of your education or because of where your family came from. Maybe sometimes people have pride because of their last name, or so many things. Really, what is behind it? It's just empty, but we don't know it. We think it is full, but the real story is it is empty. But we get involved with that. And that's another force that we have to be really careful of. It is the eighth force of the Mara. So ninth force of Mara is the desire to gain. So desire to gain, maybe desire to gain wealth or desire to gain for so many things. So sometimes we have even desire to gain some qualities that also can become a force of Mara. Especially we need to understand the connection to your mind. So look at the force that influenced your mind. So that is something we have to be really careful of. Tenth force of Mara is quality of comparing yourself to others. Easily someone can say as inferiority complex or superiority complex. Sometimes we think we don't have those, but we have those qualities in a minor level that sometimes we don't recognize or we don't notice it. Those people simply have that I am better than that person, or I am better, my actions are better than that person's actions. Or sometimes we really don't care some other people's and what are some other people's actions. Or sometimes we even think that their belief system is lower than mine, or their belief system is better than mine or something. Or their lifestyle is better than mine, or my lifestyle is better than them. So we can that bring, so especially think about when those things come to your mind, how your mind act. Really, what do you look for? Therefore, these forces are Mara is existing in our head, in our mind. It's supported by our mind. It developed greed, anxiety, fear, whole lot of emotions. Without Mara, nobody would experience any emotion. Therefore, whenever we experience any emotion, there must be some kind of Mara behind it. And not only that, these inside forces would support by outside. You can pick any of those things, any of those forces of Mara, it would support by outside as well as inside. Since you have that inside, it anytime that can be encouraged, that can be supported by outside. Then what is the trouble of us? We think those things exist outside, then we are trying to fix outside. Like if you have trouble because of your home, you are trying to fix your home. If you have trouble because of your family or because of your kids or because of your spouse, you are trying to fix them. But especially you need to understand where the trouble exists. It's happening or it exists in your head because of something else. Or you can easily that narrow it down to greed, anger, ego, or something. So they recognize where the trouble exists, where the pain exists, then by treating to that, you can really overcome. So that is how one can go against to Mara. Especially recognize Mara is the obstacle for your wisdom. Mara is the obstacle for wisdom. So when Mara disappears, wisdom exists. Wisdom appears. Therefore, use meditation to recognize it. Then use meditation to help yourself to grow. So according to Buddhist teachings, the meditators better to look for the power of the Mara or the directions of the Mara that come in towards you, and make sure not to feed the Mara. By not feeding the Mara, you can reduce the power of the Mara. In another way, we can see Mara is the habit. Now when you have trained those habits, you have trained these habits in the past. Now karma means the past, the action what you have done in the past. So karma means the action what you have done in the past, which can reproduce in the present or future. Then again, the past actions is forming the habits. So that is the force of the Mara. Then in another way, yes, you can see Mara get the power through your karma. Mara become much more powerful through the karma. Very good question. Emotions supported by two different forces. But most of our emotions supported by ignorance. We call avidya. If it is supported by avidya, it is not useful. Then those are the things we consider as a mara. Supported by the mara. But If some emotion supported by wisdom, we really don't consider those experiences as emotions, such as compassion, equanimity, sympathy, joy, and loving kindness. Those four are supported by wisdom, but we do not consider those things as emotions because emotions can bring pain. If you have true compassion would never ever bring the pain. Now let's see, you see somebody is suffering because of something. That can be some kind of disease or that kind of something, some kind of experience. But if you have a painful experience, that is not because of compassion. It comes because of your desire. But we misinterpreted that kind of experience as compassion sometimes. If it is painful, it is not compassion. So true compassion is full of the wisdom, no pain. So compassion would not support it by desire. Because sometimes our society misinterprets some qualities. Like we think because of my compassion that I see that person is suffering, then some people are crying because they think, well, I'm really compassionate and I can see these people are suffering. But if you really see that what is behind it, then you have a desire to not to see this person suffering. You have desire that you don't want to see this person is going through in this kind of experience. Then you suffer, your desire makes you to feel it, but since because that's coming from outside, this about somebody else, we think that is compassion. It is not real compassion, it is because of desire. Compassion is always full of the wisdom. Third one.
Confused. If you could explain to me. The fourth craving one. And the ninth one is desire.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm thinking they're one and the same, so what's the difference, right?
Well, desire goes with all the senses. Even desire goes with, you have desire to exist. That also part of the desire. Then you have desire to experience certain things. But a craving is only goes with the sense experience. You have crave, you have craving to taste, you have crave to hear. So craving comes with the sense experience. Comes with the sense experience. That's a different. So commonly we use craving for only for taste, food, but not only that, all the five senses we use for the craving. And there are 140 some suttas about this concept of Mara in Sanyutta Nikaya, this entire sect called Mara Sanyutta. There are some interesting stories too, and if you have time. So even Buddha see, Buddha recognized that when he has some challenges, that challenges come from outside, he managed to see that that quality of Mara, that quality of Mara encouraged him to do certain things. Then he said, okay, this is the Mara, this is the form of the another form of the Mara, this is another form of Mara. In our family, or in, you know, around us, we have a lot of people and who's coming with that form. Like if somebody makes you angry, if somebody makes you unhappy, you think that experience coming from outside, because of this person I became unhappy. But if you have wisdom, you can see the connection and what the desire you have. So what makes you to have this kind of experience? Really, what ultimately both of you gain by having this experience? So you can see all of those things clearly, and even you can see your connection to this. And finally you will come up with your mistake. Well, this is my mistake again. Again, why do I respond like this, and what do I gain by doing this? Have you seen anybody who has gained anything through anger? You know, nobody gained anything through anger. But we express that. When you are angry, you think it is useful. It's necessary.
So what is the answer to get rid of it, to let it go, that desire you have?
The answer actually comes through the mindfulness. If you have mindfulness, you will stop feeding it.
Yeah.
Again, we go back to her question. Once you stop feeding it, you are forming another force against this negative force. We call it karma again. You are training, or there's another habit. Let's see, you see in some people in society, they become angry for certain things, but some of them are not. Because they have trained themselves to not to become angry for those things. Maybe they become angry for different things. And even though when you see the level of the desire, some of you don't have desire like some other people. And also some other people might not have desire for something you have desire for. So with mindfulness, with meditation, we are training, or we are practicing or generating power to go against, to go against with what? With ignorance. You're going against ignorance. Yeah, sometimes it is interesting to talk about that Brahma Vihara, sublime status, which you call compassion, equanimity, sympathy, joy, and loving kindness.